You need to get in the habit of saying, I don't know how we're going to do this, but the one in me knows how. I don't know how we're going to pay that bill, but I know the one in me knows how. I don't know how I'm going to forgive that person that did that or said that or didn't do that, but the one in me knows how. Then he goes on to say in verse 11, he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, if you can't believe that, believe me for the sake of the works themselves, all the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the healings, all of the exorcisms. Amen? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Wow. Really? Us? Little old us? Jesus, this is in red, guys. The works that I do, will he do also? Well, what works did Jesus do? We'll go read through the Gospels. If he did it, he says you can do it. I think we need to look at this verse and redefine our version of Christianity. Because we're not weak little worms, sinners groveling in the dirt, hoping God doesn't squash us like a bug every time we sin. It looks to me like Jesus says, when I rise from the dead, I'm going to replicate myself in you. And the things I'm doing, you're going to do them also. In other words, not a weak, defeated, sinning, emaciated, fearful church, but a church that walks in the authority that Jesus walked in while we're right now on this planet. That's every one of us. Amen. Well, preacher, I know that's you because you know the Bible and you went to Bible school. No, it didn't say just preachers. No, it didn't. It says whoever believes in him. Does there anybody believe in Jesus in here? Then he just told you the works he did, you now have the ability to do. We can make a difference, an impact. But we've got to believe what he believes, right? And he said, and if that's not challenging enough, I mean, that's already taken us beyond our comfort zone to think, you mean I can raise the dead? Well, either that or Jesus lied. You mean I can cast a demon out? I can break addictions off of people? I can heal sick people? Either that or this is, then we shouldn't even be in church because this Bible is fraudulent. If that verse isn't true, then God so loved the world, he sent his only son is not true. Right? It almost sounds like he's expecting us to do those works. Not like, you know, if you want to and you feel like it, he's like saying, no, listen, what I'm doing, when I rise from the dead and send my presence into you like his presence is in me, you're going to do by the same spirit in you what I'm doing with his spirit in me. Because I didn't come in my God power, I emptied myself. That's the Christmas story. I became a little baby needing a diaper. Right?
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say, though, and this is the crazy stuff, back in verse 12 again, he says, and greater works than these. You're going to do more than I did. Woo! Greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. I don't even know what that means. I think we work on the works and let the greater works take care of themselves. But if you think about it, Jesus never got anybody born again until after his resurrection. He couldn't because he hadn't died for the sins of the world. So when you witness to someone and tell them about Jesus' plan for them and how he died for them and took their sins away from them and they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and they're born again, you've done something greater than what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. Amen? Now, how do you do all these works? Well, don't put the pressure on you now. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So it's back to him doing it. Just like Jesus never did a work, it was the Father in him.
Right.
You're never going to do a work, it's Jesus in you.
Right.
He said, if you'll demand and ask this in my name, I'll do that. Wow. So when somebody gets healed under your hand, don't get a big head, it wasn't you doing it.
Right.
It was Jesus using your body. Right? Using your hands. Amen?
Amen?
This is what Christmas is all about, is God becoming flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. That if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right. Here comes like the David Letterman top 10. All right. 10 reasons why Jesus came. Number one, John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. If it's not abundant life, it's not God's plan for you. If it's less than abundant life, it's not God's plan for you. If it involves stealing from you, killing you, or destroying you, you can tell it's from the devil. God does not steal, kill, or destroy ever. He always comes to give life and life more abundantly. So whatever stealing, killing, and destroying is in your life is not ever, 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 never the will of God. He came to give us life. Reason number two that he came is found in John chapter 6, verse 38. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This means what? This means everything that Jesus did while he was here on the earth was demonstrating God's will for you. Jesus' ministry, his life, his words, his actions is a revelation of God's mind and attitude towards you. If he healed the sick then, he's demonstrating this is God's will for you now. If he multiplied loaves and fishes because there wasn't enough to go around, there was more month than money, it's the will of the Father to meet your physical needs now, so there's more money than month. John 6:38. The third reason that Jesus came, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the sickness and the oppression of the devil. Reason number five is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And I think this is a powerful passage of Scripture. 1 John 3:8. Bring that one up. The first epistle of John chapter 3, verse 8. The last part of that verse says, he was met for this purpose, was the Son of God manifested. For this purpose, for was the Son of God manifested. Why? Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Why was Jesus manifested on the earth? Why did Christmas happen? See, it's one thing to get sentimental about Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Away in a manger. It's okay to be sentimental. I'm that way. I love all that. But let's not forget, it's not just about a sweet little baby in a manger. He came for a reason. He came to destroy the works of the devil. To stop the stealing, the killing, and the destroying. That's what Christmas is about. That's why he came. The next reason is found in Hebrews chapter 2, reason number 5, I believe, is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. So 1 John 3:8 says he came to destroy the works of the devil, but Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says he came to destroy the devil. Well. You know, it's one thing to destroy the works of a person. It's another thing to destroy the person. Because if you destroy the works but not the person can start doing the works again.
Wow.
You could destroy a meth lab, but that doesn't mean that that person won't make another meth lab.
Right.
So the Bible makes it real clear, not only did he destroy Satan's sin shop,
right,
he also destroyed the owner of the shop.
Yes. Right. Awesome.
That's what Christmas is all about.
Sure.
So it says, inasmuch then as the children, as us, children of God, as children have partaken of flesh and blood. Inasmuch as we're human, inasmuch as we are flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He became flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Didn't he say, I thirst?
Mm-hmm.
If he was God, why would he be thirsty on the cross? You know, God doesn't get thirsty. But he, on the cross, says, I thirst, because he's feeling your pain as a human being without any help from God. In fact, at that point, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? so that you would never be forsaken ever again. He took on your godlessness so you could have God in your life all the time. But he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Had the power of death, that is, the devil. Let's just make this real clear. Jesus became flesh and blood so he could die to destroy the devil, who no longer has power to kill, steal, and destroy. He had it, but he doesn't have it Amen. Now. So if he's stealing, killing, and destroying you, you're giving him permission. Amen.